Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your presence here among us. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts to hear the lessons you would have us learn from your word. And may we be guided by your Holy Spirit as we ponder all these things in our hearts. Amen. Love and peace to you all this Christmas and throughout the year. That's something I find myself writing in my Christmas cards quite a lot. Love and peace to you all. Well, of course I write that, I'm sure we all do. It's part of the Christmas message, isn't it? And it's the love of God we're talking about, isn't it? And of course we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth and goodwill to all people. Peace on earth and goodwill to all people. So why isn't there peace on earth? And why is it so hard sometimes to show goodwill towards all people? All year round we pray earnestly, don't we, for love, for peace throughout the world. But I only have to say the words Peshawar, Syria, Rwanda, Bosnia, Auschwitz, the list is endless. And they're just a few examples from our really quite recent history. And each one of those names brings terrible images to our minds. Images of unforgivable atrocities. Unforgivable. A bit closer to home, Northern Ireland. And it's easy for us to criticise other people, isn't it? It's very easy for us to say, well, they should set aside their differences, really. They should reconcile. It's the right thing to do. Well, we thank the Lord that it has been relatively peaceful there in recent years. But is it any wonder, really, that in all of those situations, people find it so hard to reconcile? Forgiveness is hard. When was the last time any of us wrote in a Christmas card, peace and love to you, and then sent it to someone who's treated us very badly, or perhaps who's hurt a loved one of ours? But if we can't bring ourselves to reconcile with our neighbour, our relative, our friend, then how can those others who have suffered so terribly at the hands of others, how can they reconcile? It's no wonder the world's in such a mess. I think that peace on earth starts here, starts with us. And peace simply isn't possible without forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary for the peace of the world. Yes, forgiveness is hard and it's very costly. But the price we pay when we don't forgive is high. It's said, isn't it, that to anger and rage against another person is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Bitterness, anger, consumes only us. Doesn't hurt the other person. Forgiveness is necessary for our own peace of heart. So how can we do it? How can we learn to forgive? Well, there are countless stories out there about people who have endured unspeakable suffering and yet they have been able to forgive. I'm sure many of you would have heard of the story of Corrie ten Boom, but I think it's one that deserves retelling. Corrie ten Boom, having survived a Nazi concentration camp, some years later gave a talk at a conference. She was talking about her experience there and about forgiveness. And after the conference, she was approached by a man who she recognized. As soon as she saw his eyes, she knew that he was one of the guards at the camp where she was. And he was there overseeing when her sister died and thousands of others. But this man didn't recognize her, and he approached her with his hand outstretched. He said, "Thank you so much for that talk. I really appreciated it. And I have to tell you that I used to be a guard in a camp like that. But since those days, I've changed my life around. I've become a Christian. And I've asked God to forgive me. And I'd really like, having heard your story, I'd like you to personally forgive me too." And he stretched out his hand. And Corrie looked at him, and you know what? She couldn't forgive him. She could not forgive him. So in those next seconds, she said it felt like hours, but it was probably only seconds, she prayed. And she said, "God, I can't forgive this man. What I can do, I can raise my arm and I can stretch out my hand. But please, will you do the rest? Will you provide the feeling? Will you help me forgive him? Because I can't." She did what she had to do. She raised her arm. She stretched out her hand. And as soon as she clasped his hand, she felt a surge of something. Peace. Well-being. It was forgiveness. And the Lord had given her that in that instant. God doesn't always answer our prayers instantaneously like that, but he does always answer them. So if there's someone that you need to forgive, I urge you to pray about it. Or perhaps you know someone that needs to forgive someone else. I urge you to pray with them. Pray for them. God will make it possible, no matter how hard it seems. Forgiveness isn't just for Christmas. But Christmas is a wonderful excuse, isn't it? It's a great time to reach out that hand of reconciliation. And we've heard a great Christmas truce story this year, haven't we, with the celebration of the First World War anniversary. We've got some little leaflets here. There are lots at the back of the church if you'd like to read the story in full. I'm sure you've all heard of it. It's even been made into a TV ad, hasn't it? German and English soldiers singing Silent Night, Holy Night, leaving their trenches, venturing out into no man's land and playing a game of football. That really is a wonderful Christmas truce story. Forgiveness and reconciliation do demand courage. If you need some inspiration for how to be courageous enough to initiate your own Christmas truce this year, then remember the great courage it must have taken these soldiers to walk out into the firing line and shake the hands of their enemies. I have another story. It's in the form of a letter. And it's written from the father of a man who'd been killed. It was written to his killer, who was on death row. And I'll read you the letter. It says, "You are probably surprised that I, of all people, am writing a letter to you. But I ask you to read it in its entirety and consider its request seriously. As the father of the man whom you took part in murdering, I have something very important to say to you. I forgive you. With all my heart, I forgive you. I realize it may be hard for you to believe, but I really do. At your trial, when you confessed to your part in the events that cost my son his life, and you asked for my forgiveness, I immediately granted you that forgiving love from my heart. I can only hope you believe me and will accept my forgiveness. But this is not all I have to say to you. I want to make you an offer. I want you to become my adopted child. You see, my son who died was my only child. And I now want to share my life with you and my riches with you. This may not make sense to you or anyone else, but I believe you are worth the offer. I have arranged matters so that if you will receive my offer of forgiveness, not only will you be pardoned for your crime, but you will also be set free from your imprisonment, and your sentence of death will be dismissed. At that point, you will become my adopted child and heir to all my riches. I realize this is a risky offer for me to make to you. You might be tempted to reject my offer completely, but I make it to you without reservation. Also, I realize it may seem foolish to make such an offer to one who cost my son his life. But I now have a great love and an unchangeable forgiveness in my heart for you. Finally, you may be concerned that once you accept my offer, you may do something to cause you to be denied your rights as my heir. But nothing could be further from the truth. If I can forgive you for your part in my son's death, I can forgive you for anything. I know you will never be perfect, but you do not have to be perfect to receive my offer. Besides, I believe that once you have accepted my offer and begin to experience the riches that will come to you from me, that your primary, though not always, but your primary response will be gratitude and loyalty. Some would call me foolish for my offer to you, but I wish for you to call me your father. Have you guessed it already? The letter is signed, sincerely, the Father of Jesus. And the letter was addressed, actually, to all of us. It's really put into a nutshell the message that we read in this, in our Bible. The Bible is one long story of how God reaches out to show his love and forgiveness to humankind. In the very first book of the Bible, as we heard in our first reading this evening, in the book of Genesis, after all God had done for Adam and Eve, he created them. He gave them the Garden of Eden to live in, all the love they would ever need. After all he'd given them, they chose to do wrong. They turned away from God. And was God angry? Oh yes, he was very angry. He punished them severely. And humankind, yes, we're still living in that punishment today. And we're still making wrong choices. We're still turning away from God. But do you know what? He forgave them. He forgives us. He loves us. All the readings we've heard this evening tell parts of the whole story from the very beginning, the promise that God made way back in the book of Genesis, right through to the New Testament and the accounts of the birth of that most precious baby, God's own son, born to die so that we can be forgiven. In one of the last readings, 1 John, in chapter 4, we read, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." What a gift he's given us! The ability to love even our enemies. God has given us the ability to forgive. And remember, forgiveness is necessary for the peace of the world. Forgiveness is necessary for our own peace of heart. Forgiveness is necessary because to forgive is to love. And if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's the best gift any of us can hope to receive. It's the best gift that we could possibly give. And I do sincerely wish you all love and peace this Christmas. Amen.